You have tuned in to God and Country Radio, a program that examines current social, political issues from the perspective of biblical truth. I'm your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship, and today's program continues the ongoing discussion about homosexuality in our nation. Program number 16 focused on the biblical role of the state in dealing with homosexuality. Program number 60, persecution by homosexuals, focused on the reason homosexuals will not tolerate opposition, because in fighting against moral law, they can only get peace of mind through the affirmation of others. On today's program, program 74, I would like to focus on the underlying gender rebellion driving the homosexual agenda. The scripture makes it very clear that God expects people to live according to the gender he gave them. And there are different responsibilities and behaviors for men and women. There are many ways people rebel against God, and gender rebellion is one of them. Homosexuality used to be called gender identity disorder. It was not until 1975 that the American Psychological Association removed homosexuality from its list of mental disorders and classified homosexuality as a normal variation of human sexuality. Why the change? There was a philosophical and moral shift in our nation. Social leaders formally accepted the premise that there are fixed moral natural laws, the laws of nature and nature's God. People were expected to conform to their gender because it was considered self-evident that one's biological makeup is determined by an authority external to oneself, God and nature. Gender was never considered a choice, but now people believe they can choose their gender. And this is the core issue in the homosexual debate. Don't be sidetracked. Argue the main point. There is a God who establishes gender and gender behavior. Gender is not a function of human choice. But before I get into the specific sins underlying homosexuality, I would like to give a few homosexuality activism updates. This month, the Supreme Court is taking up two landmark cases concerning homosexual marriage. First, a lawsuit against the Federal Defense of Marriage Act, which prohibited gay marriage. This law was passed by Congress and signed by the president back in 1996. A gay couple is suing the federal government, claiming that the law violates their constitutional rights, and the Supreme Court has taken up the case. Second, the Supreme Court is taking up the California Proposition 8 case. In 2008, the California Supreme Court gave gay couples the right to marry. The people of California fought back and passed a ballot initiative to add to the California Constitution that only marriage between a man and a woman would be recognized in California. Now, the homosexual lobby protested, and they got a homosexual federal judge to declare that the California Constitution, now prohibiting gay marriage, was unconstitutional. Well, how could that be? Because liberals interpret the Constitution to provide for equality under the law in regard to sexual orientation. That the will of the majority voters in California does not trump the Bill of Rights. Now, conservatives believe that we're not a democracy, but a constitutional republic. The higher law of God embodied in the Bill of Rights is meant to prevent the majority from persecuting the minority by the power of the vote. But gay marriage is not the higher law of God. It is not part of the Bill of Rights. The Constitution does not mention gay marriage. So it should be up to the people to decide these moral issues. For the courts to take this upon themselves is for them to overstep their authority. They did the same thing imposing their ideas of justice on the Bill of Rights in the Dred Scott case, declaring that a black man is not a person. And they did the same thing in legalizing abortion. The courts are not interpreting the Constitution. They are adding to the Constitution. President Obama has filed a friend of the court brief asking the Supreme Court to overturn Proposition 8 and the Defense of Marriage Act, arguing that homosexual couples should have the same rights as heterosexual couples and, quote, homosexuals establish homes and live together, support each other financially, share the joys and the burdens of raising children, and provide care through illness and comfort at the moment of death. In his inauguration address, President Obama stated, gays and lesbians must be treated like everyone else under the law. And in a recent speech, he said, our journey is not complete until our gay brothers and sisters are treated like anyone else under the law. President Obama, his administration, and the Democrats are not just supporting gay marriage, but they are determined to legalize and normalize gay marriage in America. And it's really an outrageous thing that they imagine a United States where homosexual couples are accepted, like Ozzie and Harriet or Joan and Ward Cleaver. Just 20 years ago, that would have been considered national depravity. But the conscience of our leaders have become seared. Wanting to overturn God's law established in Genesis is the height of rebellion and arrogance against the throne of God. Now, in the past, the president has said deciding when life begins was above his pay grade, which was a lie because by taking a pro-choice stance, he was deciding that life does not begin at conception. But now notice that he puts within his pay grade the ability to decide that a man can be married to a man. Have we become so desensitized by the world that we think that the president's actions are a small thing? He will be known to history as the president who led this country in defying God's moral law, just like Ahab and Jezebel or King Manasseh. There are some boundaries leaders should never step over. And we fear for the president's soul. This Supreme Court decision will be a watershed decision. If the Supreme Court legalizes homosexual marriage, as it legalized abortion in 1972, there will be a massive movement for states to secede from the Union. Now, I can think of at least 10 states that would move immediately to repudiate federal law. But what I suspect will happen is that the Supreme Court will try to find some legal procedure to overturn Prop 8 in California, legalize gay marriage there, but not require it for other states. The people behind the homosexual agenda know they need to change the country in steps. But in the end, I suspect gay marriage will be legalized not only in America, but throughout every country in Europe. The spirit of the Antichrist is the spirit of lawlessness. And the most fundamental, basic, natural law will be set aside by the world. And according to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, this is so that they all may be judged who did not believe the truth but took pleasure in wickedness. Now, there are at least 5 passages in the New Testament that condemn the sin of homosexuality. The Jude text addresses the core issue, gender rebellion, and that's what I want to focus on in this program. Jude begins with the subject of false teachers who promote licentiousness, unbridled lust. He writes about ungodly persons who turn the grace of God into licentiousness and deny our only Master and Lord Jesus Christ. Jude then goes on to give examples of the destruction that is reserved for such rebellion against God. First, Jude chapter 1, verse 5. God did not spare those Israelites who engaged in immorality at the golden calf incident. Second, Jude 1, 6. God did not even spare angels who did not keep their own domain but abandoned their proper abode. In other words, these angels, by rebelling against heaven, stepped outside the lawful boundaries God established. The third example is Sodom and Gomorrah. The people of those cities stepped over God's moral boundaries in their acts of homosexuality. Jude 1:7, just as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them, since they in the same way as these indulge in gross immoralities and went after strange flesh, are exhibited as an example in undergoing the punishment of eternal fire. Gross immoralities is the word ekporneia. Porneia is referring to immorality, from where we get the word pornography. And adding the prefix ex intensifies the word. These are extreme immoralities. Jude's use of strange flesh is a reference to different bodies other than the natural sexual relationship between a man and woman. Clear reference to homosexuality. As Paul described in Romans chapter 1, men and women abandoning the natural function for that which is unnatural. But then Jude goes on to add more information about the motives of those who engage in unnatural sexual behavior. Jude 1:8, these men by dreaming defile the flesh and reject authority and revile angelic majesties. Now there are two possible meanings to this reference to dreams. I believe the writer probably has both in mind. First, dreaming here could be what we would call in the 21st century sexual fantasies. By their sexual fantasies, they pollute themselves. Dreaming could also be referring to an ideological view of the world that claims God has no moral laws. As we would say, they're living in a dream world, hoping God is not holy, hoping that his word is not true. And it's because of these made-up ideologies, this living in a dream world, that they go on to defile themselves. But the final issue that Jude points out is this. Verse 7, they reject authority. In verse 10, these men revile the things which they do not understand and the things which they know by instinct. That is the natural law of God written on their conscience. Jude's final point is that sin is not merely motivated by immorality, by biological desire, but by sheer rebellion against God. And this is the core problem with the homosexual movement today. And this is the direction of the entire world. Mankind is determined to throw off the law of God. If God says white, they say black. If God says black, they say white. They call evil good and good evil. Of all the laws of God, gender has been a law people have been obligated to submit to. God created you either male or female. And there's not a whole lot you can do about that. You pretty much have to fall into the masculine role or the feminine role, and the biology of your body directs you accordingly. But that determinism of God infuriates those who are the enemy of God. And so they say to God, "Oh yeah, God, you think you can make me a man or woman? I will show you. I will be what I want to be." And they punch their fist in the air at God's restraint. They say, "Let us tear God's fetters apart and cast away his cords from us." And the goal of the homosexual community is moral freedom from the law of God. And the intellectual, philosophical climate in the 21st century is ripe for their rebellion. Their objectives is the product of the Enlightenment, that man is the measure of all things. Your wishes are sovereign. You can say that your brain is in the wrong body. You can say, "I want the body of a man or a woman. I want to play a different role." And since there is no God, it follows that a person should be free to choose his own gender, since gender is viewed as random accident, biological chance. There is no God who planned for people to be born with a certain gender. And with no God, freedom becomes a new basis for deciding right and wrong. And homosexual activists are therefore judged to be the new generation of civil rights leaders securing freedom for the oppressed. This is the modern mind. Man is a god unto himself, and human freedom is the chief moral principle. And that is why heterosexual liberals are doing more to promote the homosexual agenda than the homosexuals themselves. Because even though they're not interested in practicing homosexuality, they agree with the rebellion aspect, that there is no God who should be able to tell us what we should do. Now, if you look at the statistics, only 2 to 4% of the population is practicing homosexuality. But there's another 50% that are actively supporting the ideology of homosexuality for moral reasons. They are on a crusade in support of homosexuality. They glory in the homosexual movement because they're spiritually tied to it. And of course, they will receive the same judgment. What has been very peculiar is how the homosexual lobby has had such great success, and yet homosexuals are such a very tiny portion of the population. In fact, homosexuals were probably surprised by how easy it has been for them to promote their agenda, to get politicians and social leaders and educators on board. Why did it come so easy? Because the ideology of secularism was already well established through years of public education. By the way, as an aside, the communist groups in America probably have also been surprised how easily their agenda has spread. Now, I've heard some conservatives claim the movement towards socialism in America was because of the ingenious propaganda of clandestine communist cells in America. No, I don't believe so. Socialism has spread because of the religious apostasy of the majority, which changed the spirit of the people. Otherwise, the communist socialist agenda would never have made a dent in America. And now that we know the reason for the adoption of the homosexual agenda in America, we should keep in mind that none of this can be turned back by human arguments, by appealing to pragmatism or utilitarian reasons why we should keep traditional marriage. There will be no change until all the leaders in America declare that God has a higher law which men must submit to. We must become a Christian nation again. But I doubt that that would ever happen, because the belief in a secular state is ingrained in the mind of the American people. So what now are some of the social ramifications of a people, as Jude says, who by dreaming defile the flesh and reject God's authority? First, mental, what is often called cognitive dissonance. My body, my conscience says one thing, but in my mind, I will make believe I am the opposite sex. So there are men acting like women and women acting like men. Second, that will not be enough. If one is going to fully rebel against God, one is going to try to undo what God has created. There will be the mutilation of the body. And there is a growing increase in the number of sex change surgeries. The city of San Francisco offers programs for sex reassignment surgery. The news last month was that 26 colleges in America are requiring the students' health care policies to include sex change. Now, of course, this increases everyone's health care costs, but they don't care. Money is no object when pushing an ideology. They say, forget God. We want a world where people can decide for themselves what sex they want to be. And we want to be a part of making that happen. So let's pass this new law requiring everyone to pay for sex change surgery through their insurance. We will show God and those Christians who's in charge. Another ramification, President Obama's push to put women in combat positions in the military. This is part of this goal to overturn God's law for gender. And it doesn't matter if women are biologically less suited for combat. These people will make it work, even if it means a weaker military. Then there are parenting ramifications. Many parents are now allowing their children to choose their own gender. This follows the insane ideology that biology doesn't determine gender. A lesbian couple in California say their 11-year-old son Tommy may actually be a girl by the name of Tammy, And so they're giving him hormone blockers to delay puberty so he can have more time to decide who he or she is. And this is legal. And it's not considered child abuse. You'd think a young person like this who may have some gender identity issues could get some counseling. But believe it or not, California has passed a law prohibiting any counselor in the state from gay conversion therapy. You can counsel young people to become gay, but it's illegal to counsel young people to become straight. We have a homosexual legislator in New Jersey, up in Scotch Plains, who is trying to get the same law passed in New Jersey. The same gender rebellion ideology is also affecting education. Educators in public school are now teaching students that gender is a choice. Therefore, young people are encouraged to explore their sexual identity. No external gender standards are to be imposed. Mannerisms of the opposite sex are encouraged. And this is a dramatic change from the classical belief that it's healthy for boys and girls to conform to their physical gender. Incredibly, the Massachusetts Department of Education has issued gender-neutral guidelines for schools to follow. First, transgender students can decide whether they want to use the boys' or the girls' bathroom. Second, whatever gender a student decides to be, the school must accept their opinion regardless of their biological sex. Third, schools should seek to eliminate all gender-based clothing and gender-based activities. Fourth, any student objecting to members of the opposite sex using their restroom should be reprimanded and taken in for sensitivity training, for they cannot be allowed to discriminate according to the 2011 anti-discrimination laws. Fifth, administrators are not allowed to tell parents what gender their child is acting at school. Now, these are seriously enacted guidelines by administrators who believe the rebellious ideology of sexual freedom. They want to change the world. And this is the result of separation of God and state. And I told you this is where this belief in a godless state would lead this nation. Because in this universe, there can be no neutrality. Either Jesus Christ is Lord or Satan is Lord, and there's no middle ground. Now notice in these guidelines whose rights are being protected. Whose offense is being honored? That of the homosexual, not that of the Christian. Now this is not even relativism. Relativism and fairness was only an excuse until evil could get control and power. Once evil is in control, there is no fairness for the righteous. Now, what do you think the public in Massachusetts is going to do about this? Probably nothing. Oh, people have a few morals. We'll figure that this is going to take a while to implement. By that time, their young people will be finished with school. Few parents will send their children to private schools, but the liberals will have their continual control over the government schools. Also in the news, in Colorado, last month, parents of a 6-year-old boy are suing their elementary school because their son was not allowed to use the girls' restroom. The parents claim that the boy wants to be a girl and should be allowed to use the girls' restroom. And without some definitive values, some external laws of God, the schools and the courts can do nothing but let the people do what is right in their own eyes. And this is the end of a society without God's law. Now, what can Christians do? Well, remember Vicky Knox, the Union Township teacher who caused an uproar because she said on her private Facebook page that she was personally against the school's plan to celebrate lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender History Month. Immediately, she was put on administrative leave from her job. There were protests. The school board held meetings against her. She has since quit her job. Another martyr for the Christian faith. Oh, how our nation displays her sin like Sodom. Isaiah chapter 3, verse 9, the expression of their faces bear witness against them, and they display their sin like Sodom. They do not even conceal it. Woe to them, for they have brought evil upon themselves. Our nation is in full-blown rebellion against God. And it's happening at every level of society, against God's law for gender, against God's law for life, against God's law for economic liberty and prosperity. If God said it, you can be sure the people will be wanting to throw it off. And we must continually remind the church of the prophecy, what Paul said would happen. Have you memorized 2 Thessalonians 2:3 yet? Let no one in any way deceive you, for it, the day of the Lord, will not come unless the apostasy comes first, and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction. The Greek word here for apostasy means rebellion. And this rebellion must come first, even before the man of lawlessness is revealed, the Antichrist. This is the root problem. And conservatives are barking up the wrong tree if they think they can stop the fruit without getting to the root. The axe must be laid to the root. The core issue is this. Is Jesus Christ Lord and Savior, or is he not Lord and Savior? Coming to Christ for salvation is bowing one's knee to the sovereignty of God. And there must be death to self and the mortification of fleshly passions. Jesus said in Luke chapter 9, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake, he is the one who will save it. The only way to find true life is to surrender your will and your very self to your Creator. Now, by way of conclusion, what are Christians to do? First, communicate to others what the core issue is all about. We must not let people be deceived by all the other rhetoric. What is at issue is whether God determines gender or whether man determines gender. Second, don't be deceived by the arguments that people are born different and are trapped in the wrong body. The man who submits to the law of God in gender will soon find that the right feelings will follow. Third, as God's people in these last days, we should be doing the 180-degree opposite of the world. That is, we should be a people who submit to and defend God's boundaries. We should be doubling down on bringing our lives into conformity to the will of God. And while the world is doing all that it can do to give in to the sinful flesh and throw off God's laws, we should be doing all that we can do to conquer the flesh, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Every news story we hear about society further descending into gross immorality should inspire us to show God our allegiance by recommitting ourselves to living a holy life. And this concludes our program for today. You've been listening to God and Country Radio. Listen to this program again or other past programs at godandcountryradio.org. I have created a gospel brochure called Christianity and Homosexuality, and I would like to send this to you for free. It's a brief explanation of the core ideologies behind the homosexual movement and what the Bible has to say about these things. So go to godandcountryradio.org, click on Contact Us, and send me an email requesting this free brochure, Christianity and Homosexuality. That's godandcountryradio.org. Spell it out, God and Country Radio. Remember the word radio.org. Thank you for tuning in today, and we hope you'll tune in next week. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we renew our commitment to following your boundaries, your laws, not merely for our own benefit, but to honor you as the sovereign creator, the King of Kings, and Lord of Lords. What is at stake here in all of these things that are happening in this world is the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And this we affirm. In the name of our Savior, we pray. Amen.